Fantastic. So welcome back. Today we're going to be talking about how to create a book that people want to buy from you. How can you create wonderful books? And in fact, this could be also used for wonderful audio programs, wonderful classes, wonderful speeches. There's an overall theme behind all of this, which can be applied to any kind of serving others, any kind of creation of communication, information that helps other people, helps them go to the next level. So in this audio, in this session, we're going to be talking about self-help. What does it actually mean? Because if you want to create a difference, make a difference, help people in the world, if you want to get paid, if you want to have money in your bank account from your work, then there's a way to do it that actually works, and there's a way to do it that doesn't work. And, you know, most people who have the inspiration to help others and get onto some kind of service, they fail, frankly. Most people fail. Most people don't make any money. Most people don't really get anywhere, so they, you know, might have great ideas and might have all this inspiration and wanting to help and might even have a lot of knowledge, but they actually don't generate any income and they don't really help anyone. So the failure rate in the self-help industry is really, really high. I'm not sure exactly the number, but most businesses fail after the first 3 years. 80% or more fail within the first 3 years. And then the next 5 years, then another, I think, 15%. So hardly any businesses actually last any length of time because people haven't figured out the basic things. And especially when it comes to self-help, personal development, spiritual development, we've really got to get clear on this, this one main topic, which I'm going to talk today, so that you can make it work for you. And if you don't get this right, you basically are going to fail. And if you don't fail, it's just going to be some random miracle. But I wouldn't, as much as I believe in magic and miracles, and I in a way have been relying on them to save my ass over the years, it's, you know, that's wonderful, but at the same time we also need some clarity, some practical guidance and information that actually works. So this audio, this session, this opportunity for you right now is how can you once and for all finally get your head around what does it take to create self-help programs, courses, books that actually people want to buy and they sell. And you know, we've been talking about this for a while. I've had lots of other classes and sessions where you've probably heard me talking about these same sort of things. I just want to go through it again. I've been writing a book about this recently, which is nearly finished. It's going to get it really clear. I recommend you give this your 1000% attention, because it's not only going to help just your business, it's also going to help your relationships with other people, and even your relationship with yourself. And it's absolutely critical if you want to make any money doing what you love and helping other people. So before we get into, you know, how to create book titles and how to do all that, you know, detailed stuff, let's just take this big picture stuff here. So self-help information products. What is the essence of making a living creating information products, which could be books, courses, programs? And just understand that you, if you're creating a book, an audio, a talk, you're basically delivering information. You're delivering information and education through some kind of product. Even a class is like a product. It's like a service. Services and products. You're delivering information. You're sharing information. You're using your voice or you're using your words and maybe some pictures to clarify things that help people. So it's what you're basically selling is knowledge and education and information. And not all information, knowledge and education actually helps people. You know, there's tons of crap around, there's tons of information around in the world that doesn't help anyone. You know, what are most conversations? They're kind of like information being passed across. You know, what's in the newspapers? It's information. But a lot of stuff is junky nonsense. So information could be good, bad, right, wrong, evil, beneficial, you know, game-changing. It could be all sorts of things. But it's all information. What we want to make sure is that what you're creating is high-value, powerful information that changes people's lives. So the first thing to understand before we even get into this is that you are in the information knowledge business, if you like. Your business is communicating knowledge and information, wisdom, through words, through your voice, and also through images, you know, diagrams, pictures, colors and things. But mainly it's just words, yeah, words and information. So self-help 101, what does it actually take to create powerful self-help programs? We human beings are fundamentally interested in two things. Fundamentally. Number one, we're interested in pain relief. We're interested in moving away from our pain, solving our urgent problems. And number two, we're interested in pleasure seeking, moving towards pleasure. So we're either interested in moving away from pain or we're interested in moving towards pleasure. If you look at a person, if you were to analyze human creature, the human, just analyze some random person, you'll see that behind their actions, they're either seeking pleasure or seeking pain relief. And in other sessions I've talked about, you know, we're basically interested in distraction or pain relief, you know, because a lot of the time, seeking pleasure is through distractions, like drugs, alcohol, movies. It's kind of like distracting us from the pain. But however you want to look at it, we're basically either moving towards pleasure or away from pain. So what is self-help really about? The whole point of self-help, personal development, spiritual development, books and courses, is to provide pain relief. Yeah, it's not distraction. It's going to help someone have pleasure, but the main reason people are interested in self-help, personal development, most of the time the reason is because they're in pain. So what this means is that your products and services and books need to support a real person to overcome an urgent pain, get a solution to a real life problem, and achieve specific results and improvements in their lives that they desire. So right now, I know you want to help people with your knowledge and you want to get paid. So I'm sharing with you how you can help others with their needs and so you can get paid, right? And understand, whoever you're talking to, your job is to help them overcome an urgent pain. Overcome an urgent pain that they have. Number two, get a solution, solve a real problem that they actually have. And number three is achieve specific results or improvements in their lives that they want. And that is it. That's really all it is. Those three things. So the point of anything you do is to achieve one of these three things. Ideally all three of them, really. Overcome an urgent pain, get a solution to a real problem, and achieve specific results that they want. So your whole job is to help someone go from needing something to having it. From lack to full, from pain to pleasure, from fear to freedom, from heartbroken to full of love, from a headache to feeling no headache, from bankrupt to rich. Yeah, go away from pain towards pleasure. Self-help is not like entertainment, like TV and movies. It's not about distraction. It's about getting a result. Yeah, self-help is not about drifting into fantasy worlds. It's not about theorizing. It's not about philosophy. It's not about, you know, telling people everything you've learned in the last 10 years so that you look clever. Self-help tools are about helping a real person get the results that they want in their life. So in other words, helping others get the results they want, helping them go away from pain and into pleasure. Now here's the big ass problem. The big problem is that as creators of information products, we often forget that our only job is to take our customer on a journey away from their current pain and into pleasure. And instead, we forget about them and their needs. We don't think of ourselves as relievers of pain, and instead we wrongly think of ourselves as providers of information. Yeah, we think we've got all this knowledge, let's just tell everyone about it. Yeah, but really, it's not just providing information, because there's tons of information, it's about solving problems. And here's a big issue. We think that our customer actually wants a wonderful book, or they want a course, or they want a program, or they want to work with us because we're so wonderful and we all have all this knowledge. We think our customers like our great ideas and our message so much that they'll want to listen to us. But the shocking truth is that your customer doesn't want your product. And if you're honest, you probably don't actually want to listen to me. I mean, maybe you like me by now, and you think, Michael's great, I like listening to Michael. I have people, lots of people who just like, say, I like listening to your audios, I don't care what you're talking about, it's just soothing and enjoyable. So maybe, you know, if you like it, just listening to me and I could talk to you about cheese sandwiches all day long, that's great, you know, if you feel good about that. But chances are, you're not really here just to listen to me. You're here to get a result. And if I could wave a magic wand and I could do some magic fairy dust and pixie dust and like do a little dance and clap three times and some little magic thing and you got everything you needed, you'd be probably quite happy with that. Yeah, imagine if I could dance around to do some magic stuff and you had loads of money and you had everything you wanted and the job was done and you were stoked and everything was the best ever. You know, would you be happy with that? You know, if I actually never spoke to you about anything, I just did some crazy little dance and it worked. Chances are you'd probably be fine with it, you know. If someone said to me, look, I'll just do this little dance around your house and loads of money and all these things that will come into your house in a week, you know, or today. You know, you're never going to see me again. Yeah, and it's all legal and everything's cool. You up for it? I'd be a bit surprised, but if it worked, I'd be like, wow, this is great. And I'd tell everyone, go to this guy who runs around your house, dances about, and you get all this cash. It's incredible. Yeah? I mean, who wouldn't want that? So people don't actually want the product. They just want the result. They want the things they want in their life. So they don't want your program, they don't want your book, they don't want your audios, they don't want your information, they don't want your 27-step system, they don't want to do any you know, meditation, they don't want to do any journaling. No one really wants to do any of this stuff, you know, people are lazy, you know. If I could just magically have everything that is my highest good, if I could achieve all my dreams immediately without any more work, I'd be quite happy to do that. I mean, why not, you know? So they don't want your stuff, they don't want my stuff, they want a solution. So let me just repeat this again. They don't want another book, they don't want another certification, they don't want a bunch of stuff gathering dust on a bookshelf. They don't want it. They only want what it does for them in their practical life. So just take a moment to let this sink in. Nobody wants your product. Nobody wants to go to your class. Nobody wants anything you have. They just want the result. It's shocking to realize this. So just think about it. Do you really want all the books you have, or do you want what the books you have give you? Yeah, like look at your own bookshelf. Do you want the books, or do you want what the books can give you? I mean, sometimes having an impressive looking bookshelf can give you an ego trip. You know, you can look at all these books and go, ah, yes, I'm so clever. Look at the books and say, yes, I know everything now. It can feel good to have a bunch of books, yeah? So there can be some weird satisfaction from looking at books. But really, it's what the book is representing, is going to give to us, that we're actually interested in, not the actual book itself. And, you know, you don't want to know the 486 special methods that might work to make your business better. You don't want to spend 5 years listening to me going on and on, telling you about all the bizarre and strange stories of my life. You don't really want to know about a study that was done back in the 1960s by some philosopher from Sweden who discovered something special. I mean, maybe you're interested in these things, but fundamentally, we invest our time and energy to get results. And if you want to make sure that you're making a difference in people's lives, and you want to enjoy the stuff that you want in your life, and you want to have time, the money, the energy, the happiness, the peace, the bliss, then you really got to understand this. Yeah? I doubt you wake up in the morning and you think to yourself, oh, I wish I could just read Michael's book all day long. I wish I didn't have anything else to do so I could just read this book. Yeah? I mean, if people are honestly waking up in the morning saying, I can't think of anything better to do than read Michael's books, I'd be quite surprised, actually. And, you know, might pander my ego a little bit. But I know that people just want a result, and I don't feel there's anything wrong with that, you know, and it's the same with you. So I'm going on about this because this is something that somehow takes a very long time to sink in for most people. And if you can let this sink in now, you're going to save yourself huge amounts of wasted time and energy and money. So you're a human. You care about your own needs and desires and pains. You want to learn these things so you get a result. And that's how everyone else thinks as well. So let's just go a little bit deeper into this, give you some examples. Imagine you have three options to help you make more money. Let's say, okay, you want to have more money, or you want to have more happiness, or whatever. Let's just talk about money. So you've got three options that are all going to make some money. They will all get you the same amount of money, but you can only pick one of these three options, okay? So let's, I'm going to give you the options and you can make a pick. Option one is called the Serious Hard Work Program. And in this Serious Hard Work Program, you're going to get 1,237 page manuals. You're going to get five of them. They're like massive fat manuals, densely packed with complex technical language, detailed graphs and charts and theories. You're also going to get a 527 audio training program plus a 7-year video course that costs you, you know, $120,000, and you need to put in 6 hours a day in order for it to work. Okay, super hard work for at least 7 years, okay? Option number two, and that's going to get you a result. You know, you'll get money from that. Option number two is the Done For You program. This is where someone helps you set up everything you want to make money yourself. You do very little except answering questions, doing a few things here and there, and it all gets done in 3 months, and it's 25 grand. Option number three is the magic program. This is where a shaman does a little dance, claps his hands three times, says a magic word, and you instantly get all the money deposited into your bank. And you don't have to do anything at all apart from lie down and relax and think about the sound of falling trees that no one saw. So what do you prefer? You want the magic one, where you don't do anything, or you want the second one, where you do a little something, or you want the first one, which is super hard work? Probably you'd choose magic one. The magic one, would you probably choose it if it actually worked, be a bit unconventional. Otherwise you'd choose the second one, and you probably wouldn't want the 7-year hardcore, 6-hour a day, tons and tons of manual version. So what it means for you is that your customers are the same. They don't want the complicated, long-winded thing. They want it as quick as possible. You know, and if you're teaching deep, deep things that take a long time, then, you know, it takes time. You know, a lot of courses, programs and things that I've created, they take a long time, because to help people upgrade all levels of their life and really go to the next level does actually take time, you know, just to be honest. But we want to shorten it down as much as possible, get rid of all the fluff and keep things as straightforward as we possibly can. So people are only willing to invest in what you have because of what it gives for them. And once they've reached their destination, it's time to enjoy their new life. They don't really want your program. They just want to get to their destination. They want to get the things they want. So I hope this is clear. Is it clear? Is it clear that people don't want your program, they don't want your products, they want a better life? You want a better life, I want a better life, and they want a better life. And your product, your book, your program, your course is only valuable if it helps them get out of their pain and get closer to pleasure. So your job is to make sure that your products are packed with valuable information that solves their problems. Their problems, okay? Big word is the word they. T-H-E-Y. It helps their problems. So this requires getting inside of their head, getting inside of their heart, really thinking from the other person's point of view. It's not easy to do. We're blinded not to be able to do this. We look at the world through our own eyes. You know, you don't wake up in the morning looking through someone else's eyes. You wake up in your own bed looking through your own eyes. Yeah, of course you do. I mean, I don't know. Unless if you're waking up in someone else's bed looking through their eyes inside someone's body, then that's a bit unusual. Yeah, I don't know many people who do that. There's a movie called Being John Malkovich, which is about that, people going inside this guy's body and taking it over. Doesn't happen very often, yeah, and I'm not suggesting that you sort of try and possess people, yeah. So, but we wake up in the morning looking through our own eyes and our own bodies, right? Problem is, as a creator of programs, you have to imagine what it's like being them and how you get them a result. So you actually have to think from the other person's point of view, which is fundamentally challenging, because you don't see anyone else's point of view, you see your own point of view. So, I hope this is clear. Your job is to think, what do they need, to help them get pain relief. Pain relief, pain relief, pain relief. In other words, you're here to help someone get something that they value. The more what you do gives them what they want, the more they value it. So the more you help them, the higher the value is for them. So you might say to yourself, I just love this particular book. I think it's the most wonderful book ever. But if someone else doesn't value what that book offers, it's not valuable to them. That's why if you look around your house, you probably have a few valuable, precious things that you find valuable. They might have sentimental value. But someone else, if someone else moved into your house and had all your stuff, they'd probably wander around the house, chuck most of it out straight away, and say, I don't need that, don't need that, chuck, 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 give it all to the thrift store. Yeah? If you've ever moved into an apartment that's kind of like partly furnished, the owner thinks it's all such precious stuff. I've had this experience. I've gone in the house and I'm like, right, this has all got to go. Out, 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 all of it. I'm not interested. Because we all value different things, yeah? So, the weird thing about information products is you have to think about what the other person values, not what you value. And this is the big, big challenge, which is why this is hard, and this is why most people fail. So, let's talk about value, because if we talk about value, then we start to actually create valuable programs that people want to buy in books. Value is the secret to success. Okay, you ready? Talk about value. Value is the secret to success. Why is understanding value so important? People pay money for things that add value to their lives. They won't pay for things that don't add value to their lives. So if you know what people value, if you want to help people, you need to know what they value. And if you don't understand this, you'll waste vast amounts of your time and energy and end up broke. So what do you want? Do you want to spend all this time and no one cares? Or would you rather spend the same time and people love it and want to help you? I want to pay you. So quick recap, your customers have pains, frustrations and needs. They're seeking solutions to their problems. They want to get away from their pain. They value the things that get them away from pain more than the things that don't get them away from pain. And they will pay all kinds of money for things that they value. And the more urgent someone's pain, the more they're willing to pay. Whereas people will pay hardly any money or no money for everything else. Everything else, anything that someone doesn't value, they're not going to spend money on it. You know, so like, I don't value heroin, for example, yeah? So that's why I don't buy heroin, yeah? I don't buy cocaine either, yeah? I'm not buying any of these illegal drugs because I don't want them, yeah? Someone else, they're like, I need my heroin, I've got to have it, it's extremely valuable. And no doubt if I was addicted to heroin, I would want to have heroin, yeah? Some people, they spend all this money on their cars, and they do have these special rims and special wheels and special, like, tires and, like, all these things. And that's valuable to them for some reason. So they're thinking about it, and they're spending money on big tires and stuff. I'm not interested in that, personally, but they are. So if I was, you know, talking to them, you know, I'd have to talk to them about big tyres, and people would be like, yeah, 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 I want some more big tyres, definitely, bigger ones than the ones I already got. So, there's nothing wrong with this, it's just we all value things differently, and ideally, you're going to be creating programs and courses that are things that you value and they value, okay, that's the ideal thing, because then you can relate to it, yeah. So, people basically won't give you any money if you don't create something that they value. In fact, most people don't even notice things that they don't value. What we value creates filtered glasses that we wear to see the world. And the things that we value sparkle and glow, while everything else is blurred and grey and almost invisible. So, for example, if you have a serious migraine headache, you will value migraine headache relief pills. Yeah, or some kind of headache relief. You'll value it. If you have a headache, your filter, your glasses, your perception will be like, where is the headache relief? And you'll look around and anything that's to do with headache relief will start to glow and sparkle and you'll see it. Everything else gets faded away, disappears and isn't important. If you've ever been, you know, madly in love with somebody and attached, and you want to talk to them and you can't bear to be away from them, right, and you value them and you value communicating with them, every time your phone rings or you get a text message or an email or whatever it is, the communication or a letter, you're hoping that it's from them. Yeah, I've had this experience plenty of times. Oh my God, is this person getting back to me? Oh wow, this is so important. Yeah, everything else doesn't is not important. Yeah, you might be in the middle of something, and if you hear your text message go off, oh my God, it's them. Yeah, value it. Everything else dissolves. It becomes small. Yeah, if you're super super thirsty. I remember I was in Austin, Texas. It was like 100 degrees or something last year. And we didn't have any water. We're wandering around in the heat. And I was like, just get me some water. There didn't seem to be any shops anywhere. And we were just like totally dehydrated. And I was like, we were supposed to go to this museum. And I couldn't deal with any museums or anything. I needed to drink something, you know. I was baking away and, like, sweating away. I needed to drink. It's a rather distressed moment. Finally, we found a machine that had water in it. And it was awesome, yeah. What you value, especially in pain, everything else dissolves, and that's the only thing that you notice. So, and if the pain gets strong enough and lasts long enough, people will pretty much be willing to do anything to get rid of it. So the higher the pain, the more interest it is. And what happens when your migraines end and the years go by without a headache? Let's say you had a headache and now you get your headache relief, and now years have gone by and you've never had a headache. What do you do then? What will you do with your old headache pills that you used to think were so valuable? If you haven't had a headache in 5 years, you're probably going to chuck out all of your headache pill stuff. You'll be like, you know what, I haven't had a headache in 5 years. Why have I got this in the cupboards? This is all crap. Chuck, 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 throw it away. Trash, trash, trash. So it went from highly valuable at one point to completely junk at another point. Yeah, if you've ever done clearings in your house, clearing stuff out of your house, you've probably found clothes and books and things that people gave you, and old cards and birthday cards and all this stuff. And after a while, when you look at them later, they once were all these really important things. And now you're just like, yeah, chuck, throw, trash. I do this all the time. I'm like, yeah, out. Just get rid of it. You know, because it's not valuable anymore. It goes from when we're in pain or something's important to us, it's highly valuable, and as time goes on, it becomes useless, yeah? Why? Why does it become useless? Because your pain level changed, your value level changed. That's the thing that happened. So, the same person could value something at a level of 10 out of 10 today, and in a week, it could be 0 out of 10 or 1 out of 10, right? And if you talk to someone when they're valuing something at 10 out of 10, they'll give you tons of money for it, right? If you talk to them again when they don't care, then they're not interested, yeah? So the more the value someone has, the more someone values something, the more they want it. So you need to know this, because if you're helping people, you want to make sure that what you have is what they want, yeah, what they value. So let's just look at this in terms of like a little equation. Urgent pain equals high value equals willing to pay high prices. Low or no pain means there's no value or interest, which means unwilling to pay high prices. Yeah, when have you ever spent a lot of money on something that you didn't want? You know, the only time we do that is when, like, our car breaks or something. You don't really want to spend money on the car, but you haven't got a choice. Because it's pain, you can't drive your car, yeah, so even then you value it. Or if you I remember there was a screw up in one of my PR campaign things I did for a program. I hired this copywriter person to do a press release, and he got the names wrong, and he screwed all this stuff up and sent it out, and we got emails back from a lawyer of a company. It says, you know, you're misrepresenting my client and blah blah blah. And I didn't, this is all like happened without my knowledge. I was a bit shocked about it. And he was charging us $1,000 for the first thing, and then every email we sent him, he charged us another $200. So we were like, I don't quite understand what's going on here. Can you please explain what is, like, this is all a bit strange? And he was like, right, that's $250. We're like, what, are you serious? $250 for an email? That's another $250. So we had to pay this guy, like, I don't know, $1,500 or $1,750 or something ridiculous. For nothing, you know. It's just weird things like that. That's why there's all these lawyer jokes. Because actually, I'm just gonna digress for a moment and give you a quick lawyer's joke to break things up a bit. There was a whole plane full of lawyers going on a convention, a lawyers' convention, and the plane was hijacked. And the hijackers said, we will release one lawyer per day until our demands are met. I thought that was quite funny. Anyway, back to the value. If you didn't value that joke, then you probably didn't laugh. But if you did, then you probably thought it was funny. So there's two kinds of value, right? What are the different kinds of value? Two kinds of different value here. First kind of value is what's called direct value or inherent value. And second kind is called indirect value or secondary value. So there's direct value and indirect value. Direct value can be found in things that you have because it gives you something. Like directly gives you something. Like, for example, I'm looking at nature right now. I've got a beautiful view where I live, looking over the river and the Kauai. It's just lovely, and it's valuable to me to see this view, which is why I spend money on rent or bills, you know. I don't value buying a house at this point because I don't necessarily want to be trapped anywhere. Yes, I don't, but I possibly might buy this house, actually. But I'm willing to spend money because I value the view. Yeah? It's direct value. All I do is sit here and it gives me value. I don't do anything. It's immediate. Things with indirect value are different because they require an extra step to be turned into value. Yeah, I don't need to do anything. All I need to do is sit here and look at the thing, and it gives me value. Yeah, it's direct, instant value. Yeah? The thing itself has the value. Same thing with like beautiful flowers, orchids, or things. They you look at them and they make you happy. Yeah, instant. Indirect value requires an extra step to be turned into value. Like money, like physical cash has no direct value. Money has to be turned into something to have value. Yeah. So if you turn money into food, then you can eat the food. If you turn money into, you know, a car, then you can drive the car. The car has value, direct value, yeah? The car has indirect value as well, because you actually have to get in the car and drive around to get where you want to go, which is the value of the car. But car can have direct value, because if you, for example, have got a, you know, a a Rolls Royce, you can feel good about your car just by having a Rolls Royce, yeah? So there's the kind of weird car thing going on, which is the direct value, if you like. Or so these are deep things, but you need to think about this stuff because you're creating content for people, you're helping people, and the more you understand how people think, the better it is. So money's like information products. Information products, books and courses, are like money. They have no inherent value. So information products are not in themselves valuable. So many people who don't have money think that cold cash, like hard cash, is going to solve their problems, and they focus their energy on getting the money, working hard, buying lottery tickets, trying to get their hands on as much, you know, cold hard cash as possible. And I used to think money had inherent value as well, and I wanted money, 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 yeah. Then I realized that actually rich people don't think like that. Rich people realize that money doesn't have any direct value, and so they think differently about it. And imagine if you're stuck in a room full of cash for a year, $100 bills, massive pile of $100 bills in a room by yourself for a year. How much value would the money have? Imagine you're in a room by yourself for a year with tons and tons and tons of cash. What are you going to do? You can't eat it. It doesn't warm you up. It doesn't create any noise. You know, you can scrumple it up and make scrumpling noises, you know, but that's not particularly interesting. You can't sleep on it. It probably smells. It's covered in ink. You can't write on it. There's no like space really. It's all covered in stuff. You'd starve to death in a room full of money. Money is basically useless junk cluttering up and stinking up your room. That's what money actually is. It's stinky paper, yeah? Or it's numbers on a screen, or it's some piece of plastic, yeah? None of these things have any value whatsoever. You have to turn it into something else. So what does have inherent value? For example, having a garden provides me with value, yeah? Like, a friend of mine from Noniland just came round yesterday, brought me a whole big bag of fruit, and I asked him to plant a banana tree out the back, and, you know, he's stoked to do that, and, like, I got all these lilikois, so, and we've got a bunch of avocados and coconuts and stuff, yeah, so there's actual value in the stuff. I can actually eat it and enjoy it. It tastes nice, it's wonderful, it's sustainable. So if I was in a room and I had food that was lasting in a fridge, you know, and I had stuff to do, and some paper, some books, you know, that were interesting to read, or like meditations, anything that was useful to me in that situation would have value. House has inherent value. You know, you can live in a house. So if you have food and a house and running water, electricity, you've got value. There's value in, you can have a good life, yeah? Even if the whole world disappeared and you had your house with electricity and all these things, you'd be all right, you know, and food. You could live without the rest of the world. That's why people are going off the grid. So cash is useless. And reason this is important to realize is because the value of information products is similar to the value of money. A book on a shelf is completely useless. You can't wear it, you can't eat it, you can't sleep inside it. It doesn't make a good pillow, it's not a good notebook. It's just this thing gathering dust on a shelf. The value of a book only emerges when the knowledge contained is used. And it's only useful if the knowledge is actually powerful, if the knowledge actually has got something valuable in there. So most information is just a bunch of crap taking up space. And you don't want to create a bunch of crap taking up space, do you? You want to create something valuable that helps people. So the value of a book, of your products and services, only emerges. It's transformed from a stack of bound paper and ink on a shelf into a valuable resource only when it's consumed and applied. Once you pick up a book, once someone picks up your book, the value begins to pour out and reveal itself. But it's only when the valuable information has impacted a person and created a shift in their life that the value is unlocked. So the value has to be unlocked, and that only happens when it's applied and when it actually gets a result. Yeah, so like I could tell you all sorts of wonderful things, but and I could do everything I possibly can to help you, and I could design it all very carefully and all the rest of it, but if you don't unlock it yourself, then it doesn't work either. Yeah, so when it comes to self-help programs, one side of it is you have to add value to the person you're helping. Do everything you can to make it consumable, easy to understand, clear, practical. Yeah, that's your job, make relevant to them. And then their job is to actually use it, because there might be the best book in the world, most clear, most powerful, and if someone picks it up and goes, yeah, that was interesting, put it back on the shelf, doesn't help them. So you can read a book from beginning to end, and unless it has a positive impact on you, or unless you're willing to do the work, it's useless, waste of time. So you can have you probably already, like for example, what you've learned so far in this audio and other audios and all these courses, if you've applied the things I've shared in your own life, you've seen the value. And if you haven't applied them, then you probably haven't seen the value. And because I've taught so many courses over the years, it's the same. It's funny to me because it's the same exact course. Everyone's getting the same thing. Some people have massive transformation. Some people don't get any transformation. I'm like, well, this is fascinating because it's definitely not all the same. So you can't take responsibility for everything someone does, but you definitely can take responsibility for making sure that what you provide to other people is absolutely clear, focused, and important. So not everyone takes this stuff seriously. There are some people who are information junkies, some people who are just collectors of information. They have houses full of courses and products that they never use. They're always chasing the next thing, they're never applying anything. They're collectors of information. Your job is not to worry too much about those people, because they're always just going to collect information. Your job is to focus on people who want to make a difference, focus on helping them get a result, making it as easy as you can. So next thing we want to talk about, if you've understood this, right, these might sound simple things, but they're not easy to fully grasp. So I'm talking about this, giving you examples so that you can understand, look, people don't want your product, they want pain relief, they want what they value, they value pain relief, your job is to give them pain relief. It's the main message. And what you're doing, the whole point of your book, your program, your course, your sessions, your speeches, whatever you're doing, is to take someone away from pain and into pleasure. You're taking them on a journey from Pain Island, from the island of pain where they live, to Pleasure Island. You're taking someone on a journey from pain to pleasure. So from heartbroken to in love, from broke physically, you know, in debt, to rich, from stressed out, confused and anxious to relaxed, happy and peaceful, from tired, sick and unable to do anything to having vibrant energy and feeling awesome. Your job is to take people on a journey from pain to pleasure. So we've now established that people don't want your products, they want what your products can do for them. Information products are not in and of themselves valuable. They're not valuable things like a house or having a garden. And they're only valuable when the transformative power is unlocked and it's turned into a practical change in someone's life. So let's talk a little bit more about what makes your products and services valuable to your customer, so that you can create books and courses and programs that actually are going to help people. So let's just take a couple of examples here so you can understand this. So remember, you're taking people on a journey. Your product and service is a journey from pain to pleasure. So let's think about other journeys. What does a plane ticket do? An information product or a book or a course is like a plane ticket. Yeah, your book, your training is like a plane ticket. What value does a plane ticket offer you? Yeah, whenever you buy a plane, what value does it offer? The ticket promises to take you from one place to another. You buy your ticket, and the value comes after the plane takes us from A to Z. Yeah, you didn't buy a plane ticket to sit on a plane. Once you arrive at your destination, what do you do with your ticket? Yeah, some people have a strange habit of collecting their tickets, but most people, what do they do? What happens to your ticket when you arrive at your destination? You know, you've unpacked your bags at the hotel or whatever. What do? You throw your ticket away. Does your ticket have any... Once you've arrived at your destination, does the ticket have any value? Do you hang it on the wall? Do you laminate it? Do you make it into a necklace? No, once you've arrived, you discard your ticket with the trash and your water bottles and your other stuff. You've arrived, now it's time to get on with your next journey. You want to get from where you were to your destination as quickly as possible. So people are not buying your products. They don't want a collection of plane tickets. They're buying what your products do for them. Your product services are like a disposable ticket that takes them on a journey to a better place. Yeah? It's very useful to think about it as a plane ticket. So people start where they start their journey. When they come to you, they're in Pain Island. Pain Island, it's just good to think about this. Your customer, your person you're helping, your friend, business friends, they're in Pain Island. It's where they worrying about stuff, stressing out. Yeah, people are probably always going to be in some sort of pain, you know, even if you take them from one place to another, they've still got another pain when they get there as well, because human beings have a number of pains. But you have to start with one big thing. You can't say to people, I'm going to help you solve these 17 million problems that you have all in this one thing. It's unreasonable, yeah? So you just take one thing at a time. So they're lying in bed worrying about stuff, yeah? That's the pain. And Pleasure Island is where they want to go. It's what they want to experience. It's the dream. And your product is a means to an end. It's just to take them from here to there. And this is where it gets confusing, okay? Now, this is a big deal. And if this was clear to people, everyone starting out, then there wouldn't be all this sort of junk around and people would be more successful. This is not easy and clear and obvious to most people, so that's why we need to take the time. So your job is to take someone from Pain Island, from their pain to pleasure, like a plane, like on a plane journey or a train or a bus ride, yeah? And what we want to avoid is what I call the detours of doom, the detours of doom. And I'll talk to you about that in a moment. So let's just take a little break. This is as much as you can probably handle in one chunk. And I'll talk to you about the detours of doom in the next session. So nice, take a break, you know, drink something, whatever you need to do. We'll be back in a few minutes talking about the detours of doom so you can avoid them and create much, much better programs, courses and books and get paid. All right, talk to you soon.